individualism is a pretty big problem. It is, in my view, it's explainable in terms of evolutionary history and background. Joseph Henrich of Harvard, he explains it with the medieval Catholic Church, but whatever it is, we are the individual is unique. There's no other culture in the world that is individualistic like the West. the fact is we are not inevitably...
Testing.
I think this one might work better. Yeah, go ahead.
It's context dependent to a great degree. Once people start feeling threatened, then they start being more collectivist. They go into groups. When you think about the 1930s Germany, a very collectivist culture, very unified culture, in-group and out-group feeling, very strong. And of course, what I see now, though, is that we see increasing anti-white hate in the media. It's pervasive. You go on MSNBC, someone like Joy Reid or this Tiffany Cross, you see it, in social media, just people you never heard of, but they just hate on white people. And then, of course, their school system, critical race theory, white kids are being taught that they're privileged and that, everything is their fault and all that. And my belief is that this is one of the things that really will make us way more cohesive long term. They've actually done studies that when people are told, that white people are going to be a minority soon, it makes them more conservative on things like immigration. So white people, when they feel under threat, have much more of a sense of collective fate. And we're not going to, that we're all going to hang separately. So it's interesting. Tucker Carlson, I think, is the edgiest person in the mainstream media. He's certainly not what we would all like, but he has called out the anti-white racism just recently, last week, I think, on MSNBC. It's a very important thing. He's got a huge audience. So the average white guy out there suddenly, really wakes up. It's okay to say we are hated. And when, why are we hated? It's like nothing. I mean, really, from our, slavery in the past, but, that's way over with, even if, whatever you want to think of it. And of course, the other thing is, he said that MSNBC is owned by whites, so he's not going to go talk about the real owners of MSNBC. But the message is pretty clear, and some people may have looked it up. But anyway, personal experience. I think a lot of parents and grandparents now are getting the message. Their children, especially boys, are not going to get a fair deal here. They're not going to get into the college they want. They're not going to get the job they want. Things are really sort of amping up in terms of the anti-white hatred, and it has to, filter through at some point. I mean, I know there are white liberals who are absolutely, immune to that, especially women, I think. But, at some point, they certainly had feelings for their family, for their grandchildren, and that sort of thing. And that can certainly put them on page with a kind of more collectivist orientation, feeling that we have to sort of close ranks. the reality of open borders in the Biden administration. If you watch Fox News every day, they have this, they're televised, these massive numbers of people coming across the border. They've had by 4 million people since Biden took office. It's unprecedented. But they're not white, and you got to realize that this is going to make people, again, feel more threatened. And of course, the MSNBCs of the world complain. You shouldn't even be talking about that. And they question the whole enterprise. But it is more important to get white people on board. We are being replaced. Speaking of Tucker Carlson, he used the phrase replacement, the great replacement. And he talked about white people being replaced. Well, of course, the ADL went crazy about that. But he fought back, and he had this he put on this thing from the EBL webpage saying that, you know, Israel should not just allow itself to be demographically swamped because it would be very dangerous. Well, it's going to be very dangerous for us, too.
Yep.
And anybody, how could anybody doubt that? You know, the whole long history of ethnic warfare and cleansing and everything else, what Israel is doing, you know, it's going to happen here. We have this kumbaya image of the future, and it's just not going to happen. But I think those kind of messages of people, you know, crossing the river and all that, and coming over the border in mass, I think it sort of triggers implicit whiteness. You know, we're being swamped here, and pretty soon we're not going to be able to vote. Or any power that we have in the voting is not going to be enough to get a government that we want. And you ever see that with Republicans? They're not, they go along with so much of it so often. The thing I'd like to, you know, emphasize is Jim Gold was saying that we tend to repress our instinct. And I'm a psychologist, and how it works is that the problem is media control, especially, of course, you know, liberal media, but Fox News too, they don't really get to have a lot of issues. But what happens with humans are unique with language and the prefrontal cortex, our higher brain centers. And so you're constantly inundated with these messages. And experimentally, you can show that these will actually inhibit white ethnocentrism. It'll show that people, if they're told that they're a racist, they respond very differently. They take a lot more time to think of, they think about it, and they're actually repressing ethnocentrism. That they're told that they were ethnocentric. And so these constant messages do have that kind of effect. And so what we're talking about really is top-down control. And the academic world, it is really a hopeless place right now. And of course, entrance as a faculty is, you know, intensively policed. I mean, there's no way in the world that I could get a job, or any of you could get a job, if you told them what you believed about this kind of stuff. There's just no way. And they wouldn't invite you for an interview. They would it'd be horrible. But that's what this is. It's a top-down cultural control. The messages coming in, pervading our environment, inhibiting our natural instincts, as Jim Gould said, and that's exactly what is happening here. The other thing about individualism is that we don't take kinship all that seriously. I forget what speaker mentioned. They don't really have strong connections to their extended family. Well, if you go to the Middle East or you go to Africa, they do have very strong connections to their kinship group. They are part of a kinship group, and that's the first source of identity. Well, we're not like that. That's what individualism really is. So we have mechanisms of social glue, and what I talk about is moral communities. We have a sense of moral, being on page morally. Imagine a small hunter-gatherer band way back, you know, Stone Age or something, in the north of Europe. And the way you keep people on board is they have to subscribe to the moral strictures of the group, not kinship. You can take anybody in the group as long as they have a good reputation. I can trust you, that sort of thing. And whereas in the Middle East or something like that, if someone's your relative, you give them a job no matter how incompetent they are. you bribe them. You know, there's nothing like that here. That's why Western societies are uniquely, or by far, the least corrupt societies in the world. Because of individualism, really. And that's very important for producing a modern kind of society. And of course, in our society, guess who creates these moral communities? The media does all they can to do that. White people bad, the Holocaust, you know, racism, all, you know, constant messages. And that's the moral community we're in. And white people are really prone to guilt. In general, Northern Europeans, and I've seen some research claiming that guilt is uniquely Western European. That is, shame is different from guilt. Guilt means you have a sort of internal monitor. this cop that's watching your behavior. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if anyone else is around. You're still going to feel guilty. Whereas shame is all about, where will I sit in the community? Am I going to look bad if I do this? Guilt is, nobody need to be around. You can still feel guilty. So I think we should emphasize moral issues and try and frame and do our best to, and really, we have a strong moral case here, right? Because, we're the ones who are realistic about human history, about ethnic conflict, ethnic warfare that's been going on forever. And but interesting to me, Mike Pinovich, National Justice Party, that's his whole approach to activism, is that he wants to pick issues that are sort of obviously moral on our side. And, recently he went to Waukesha in Wisconsin, where that black guy mowed down a whole bunch of people. He's now in prison. No federal hate crime charges. No federal hate crime charges. But, anything else, if a white person did that, the feds would be all over that. But that's the kind of thing. There's sort of obvious morality there that this guy, was a black anti-white racist. And, that's the kind of thing that can sort of wake people up to the moral issues that really should be talked about a lot on our side. And Roger was also mentioning ethics, part of individualism is appealing to a wider sort of objective thing. And I don't think that's the basis of science and everything else. When Western philosophers, even going back to the Greeks, they framed their arguments as universal and as applying to everyone. Kant, it's a moral imperative. Do unto others what you would have them do to you, or that kind of thing, golden rule. Very pervasive in Western societies, but it's unknown in other societies. And we have to realize this moral basis of our society, but also take advantage of it and appeal to people's moral sense of what's going on here, because we are being replaced, and it's an evolutionary disaster. It's a disaster in every possible way, so we have to take account of that. Thank you.